Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Dear Black Man, You Good? This is a podcast about black men sharing their feelings openly and honestly. Now, I just want to let you know, this is not a substitute for individual therapy, but it is a therapeutic podcast. So, thank you for tuning in, and please enjoy.
Welcome back to another session. Thank y'all for being here. It is February. It is Black History Month. It is the month of Valentine's Day. We're going to talk a little bit about love. First, let's start with our check-in, though, whoever wants to start.
Hello, my name is Joshua, hailing from Philadelphia. Pronouns he, him, his. I'm feeling, I don't know if overworked is necessarily a feeling, but I would say a tad overworked or like frustrated. Creative per usual and excited overall, or hopeful for the most part. That's how I'm feeling.
So I'm Daryl. I'm in DC. My pronouns are he and him. I'm feeling pretty curious and inquisitive about how this episode's gonna go. Just love from everyone's different perspectives.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Eric. Pronouns he, him, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Right now I'm feeling rather bothered. And I'm also very happy to be here to just converse with my good brothers here about everything that's going on. I'm kind of excited about the topic, and I'm kind of nervous about it because right now I'm beefing. So I'm going to be as apolitical as possible with anything I say, because I don't want my current feelings right now to carry out into the universe, where this is probably just temporary.
Okay. My name is Ryan. My pronouns are he, him, his. I live in Pittsburgh. How do I feel? Really exhausted, overwhelmed.
What up, fellas? Khalif Troy, coming in from West Philadelphia. Pronoun he, him, his. And I am feeling overwhelmed, anxious, mildly angry, but also very curious about the conversation and grateful to be in space with you all.
Thank you.
I am Marvin. I am using he and they pronouns today. And back in Philadelphia on the East Coast, it's cold here. It's been a weird day for me, feelings wise. I've had low energy for the last couple of days now. Just feeling really exhausted. Also just found out that my high school volleyball coach passed away last night. So I'm feeling a way about that, but not ready to talk about or process it. So don't ask. Got therapy on Friday, so don't worry about it. Just a lot of, I don't know. Only word I can think of is weird, low energy lately. But it is helpful to be here with y'all. So I appreciate y'all always. That's that. Does anyone want any space held for them at all?
I'm going to pass just based on what we will be holding space for. Much like what Eric said, what gets said here could carry out and have some really weird I don't want to say backlash. It's not bad, but I don't want it to come back to me in a moment. So I'll save that for offline.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I'll save mine for offline too.
Oh, damn. I'm gonna just say, I've just been struggling with anxiety, and it's been messing up my sleep schedule. So like right now I'm running off 3 hours of sleep, but I pulled the energy together to be here. So just this space existing right now is enough for me, and I appreciate y'all.
Is there anything more that we can do to support you?
Just be here, man. Just like be your normal selves. I know I'm going to get honesty from everybody here, get the truth from everybody here. And I know this is the place where I can come when I'm at my worst, and just people are keeping it real. I'm allowed to be real, and people going to keep it real with me. So, I mean, just be yourselves. That's all I ask for.
Well, I was going to say, so I'm kind of like into herbalism somewhat, and you could get like certain herbs from like Whole Foods or like health food stores. So I've been taking lemon balm at night, and it really helps with anxiety, and it helps you to get like peaceful sleep. So if you want to try that out, I would say
I'll write it down. I'm writing it down right now.
It's lemon balm tea. You can even like Google it and look it up.
Lemon balm, like lip balm, or lemon balm, like TNT?
Yeah, lemon balm, like lip balm, B-L-M.
Oh, got it.
L-M-O-N-B-A-L-M, lemon balm.
All right. I just know Whole Foods has, like, some names on products, so I didn't know if that was, like, an actual product I should be looking
for. Yeah, Whole Foods, they sell it there.
All right, I'll find it. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You will.
Okay. So it is February. It is Valentine's Day is this month. It means a lot to some people and nothing at all to other people. But you know, it is, or supposed to be, about love. And what better topic for a bunch of Black men to talk about than love? And so that's what we're gonna talk about, and we'll get all into it. So what does love mean to y'all? How would y'all define it?
Love is an extreme emotion that you would kill or be killed for. It's something that affects your heart so much. It sometimes is unexplainable, and sometimes you can't put a definition to it, but you just feel it. And you can have love for people. You can be in love with people. It's a spectrum. Yeah, that's what I have on that.
To jump a little off of what Eric was saying, love is definitely hard to explain, but I feel as though, in my opinion, like, love is not surface level. Like, love is not necessarily an emotion. Love is a continuous act. Like, love is something that, you know, you kind of choose to do every day. And then that's why, like Eric said, you have those, like, varieties of love where, you know, you could be in love with someone. You can have love for someone. You could have loved someone. So, yeah, I feel like love is a continuous act.
For me, in looking for the words to help describe what love is, I had to go to bell hooks, and bell hooks says that love is a combination of care, commitment, knowledge, responsibility, respect, and trust. And that deeply resonates with me because it covers love from a parental standpoint to a romantic standpoint and a friendship standpoint.
For me, when I think of love, I think of like connection. I feel like love should be patient. I feel that like love should be unconditional. I feel like love is like caring for someone. I do believe that there is a commitment aspect there as well. You have to be committed to like showing up and being there and just being respectful, having boundaries. And it's just overall just care and affection and intimacy.
I'm just going to go, I know you went with bell hooks, Khalif. I'm going with James Baldwin, a very famous quote of his, It says, love takes off masks that we fear we cannot live without and know we cannot live within. And for me, you know, like everybody else said, those are all the things that people said. But also it's just for me, love is kind of like being in the space of being like your most vulnerable and authentic with somebody. You know, you can just be yourself. And you can show that authenticity, vulnerability, you know, intimately, if you're dating somebody, you're in love with somebody, like a romantic relationship or it's platonic, you can just still be your whole self around the people you trust and care for. And that could extend to community. There are people you feel comfortable with doing that, like your small community, because I won't say large. But yeah, that's what love means. It's just being in a state where you can just be completely authentic and vulnerable and just be yourself with somebody.
I was going to jump in to also say that I think it also, what we've covered so far also covers self-love, which I'm sure we'll get into as well.
Ooh, what about you, Marvin?
I think love is like the ultimate feeling of trust, safety, and care. And so you trust a person or yourself with your life. You feel safe enough to be your authentic self. You feel safe enough to be vulnerable, be the most vulnerable, you know, with an individual or with yourself. And it's just like a care that is next level. You know, it's not like, I don't know, like some people say like, oh, I care about you or I care about this thing. But with love, I think it's to like the, I don't know, I can't explain. It's like a degree that's not even, like it's off the scale, right, of care. Yeah. Has anyone ever been in love?
Yes, I have.
Yes, I will say yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Daryl, what'd you say?
I said yes, I've been in love before. Do you want us to go more in depth in it or what exactly?
Do you want to go more in depth in it?
But hey, man, let it go. I felt like when I was in love, I felt like it kind of taught me a lot about myself. It made me see like a different side of myself. Mm. And it's because like being in love is almost like, I liken it to like you're giving someone all of the tools where they can like use that to hurt you.
Mm.
And so it's kind of almost like I'm giving you all of these tools, the good and the bad. And it's kind of like, well, are you going to hurt me or are you going to, I don't know, like love me correctly? That's how I think about it.
That's where that trust factor, like Marvin was talking about and a couple of other guys said, that's where that trust factor comes in.
Anyone else ever been in love and want to expand, whatever?
I've had times where, I guess, reflecting, looking back on my life, I've been in love at least once, but there's been times where I thought I was in love, and then, you know, like hindsight or just reflection-wise, you realize you weren't in love, because then, you know, once you kind of unpack it, sit with it, redigest it, and then also, too, once you find, I guess, I don't want to use the term true love, but, you know, like, what do you call it? Like, better love? You know, like, when you're in love one way in the past, and, you know, it's like your definition of love or what you know as love in the moment. But then once you receive a different type of love or, you know, something that is more loving, I don't know what you call that. But, yeah, I've definitely been in love. Probably like twice.
Piggyback off what you were saying, Josh. I've been what I thought was love, and it was probably more lust than anything. I think like when you are in like real love and like your heart's in it, There's a song lyric from Elzai. He was in Slum Village, from a song called Transitional Joint. And it's like, you out with her, you like, you never call your hoes, you gave her the tallest rose, you hit them all for shows, you stop going to bars where a baller goes to pop bottles with top models that take off all their clothes. Like, all the stuff you used to do that used to be so enticing, like, that doesn't, that like fades to the background, like a Zoom background when you put it on like that hazy thing. Like, when you're in love, like, you can see, you see this person like such a different light. And I thought I saw, seen that in somebody, and then I have seen that in someone. So yeah, it's two totally different feelings when you think you're in love and when you're in love. And then, but that also has to do a lot to do with how you were taught to love, or how you, what you feel love is. I don't know if that's going to segue into the next thing, but that's just how I feel.
So something that I was thinking about is this idea that love evolves, right? Based on how we evolve, because we always evolve. We're always changing as humans. As we get older, we have different understandings of what everything is, and especially what love is. And so, you know, it makes sense that at like 16 or 17, you have a definition of love. And then at like 30, 31, you're like, oh, I don't know what the fuck that was at 16, 17, but like, this maybe is more it. And it may even evolve after that time, you know, because we're always changing, we're always evolving. But let's ask that question: like, where did y'all see love growing up in your household? Who taught you about love and what it was?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh out loud.
I laughed inside with myself. So you're good. Immediately, I was going to Uncle Phil.
Yeah, only love I saw was on TV.
I went straight to Carl and Harriet Winslow.
My parents for me.
I would say my mom.
I also saw it, say my parents. I saw glimpses of it and when I was younger, and then it started to fade as I grew up. But I did see it. And it's interesting that some of us did learn from parents, caregivers, and then others learned from television. And I think my definition of love, like, cemented was cemented by television, because no one actually sat me down and was like, this is how you love somebody, right? Like, it was seeing Uncle Phil, Aunt Viv, Winslow's, The Cosby Show, you know, different Black sitcoms like that. I mean, Bill Cosby is trash, but their portrayal of love between the two characters was actually quite nice. What did you all learn from these folks or these shows?
You know, I'm just gonna actually say that I think I also did see love coming up in my home with my two parents, but I think it was an aspect of love that was more like commitment to each other in a household than it was romantic. So comparing the two, I saw on TV a commitment to each other. I saw romanticism. I saw, in a lot of these examples, love of children, two people raising children in a way that was healthy and respectful, and also Black parenting. So of course it pushed a little bit to make sure that, you know, they were raising like the right kind of people. It's a really interesting thing to think about now. I at like my really young years thought I knew what love was too. So I appreciate you saying that the idea of love can like grow, Marvin, because mine definitely did. It had to get cleared up, but let somebody else answer and we'll keep chatting.
I would say for me, with my mom, it was more so like a genuine concern, like care, like wanting the best for people. Like, I don't know, like, I saw like there was like sacrifice. There was like a commitment. And there was, I think there was also like, there was strength there as well. And courage and loving and having like Black love and being like supportive.
I guess for me, thinking about it now, beyond the Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv, Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv for me taught me or showed me romantic love, or, you know, like traits of like romanticism, like the romantic side of love. You know, like partner to partner, you know, just lover to lover, and how they interact within the household. So the good and the bad, like even seeing them, like just, you know, like communicating things like that, it kind of shaped for me the, I guess a stereotype, or, you know, just like the that was like the cookie cutter. I was like, okay, cool. I want to obtain that for romantic love. But I will say this, I guess, just for the record, in terms of other love, I was taught, yeah, I was definitely like shown like what love was, like filial love, just being raised up by my mom, because she definitely gave like enough love within the household for me to where like I knew how to love a person just in general, like just generally just authentically show up as a person. And then platonic love, that was just, I guess, the streets, honestly. Like as a kid, you know, just kind of like seeing like loyalty, or just like, you know, the way like socially us as like little kids in the 90s, at least, how we interacted, you know, like certain like just little acts of kindness, acts of love. So, yeah, that was my answer.
I think for me, honestly, it was like the most healthy example of love for me growing up. Because, I mean, my parents have been together, they'll be 52 years in March. So, you know, that's a whole history of them having a relationship, being together. But that was contrasted with like everyone else in my family who like been divorced multiple times and married multiple times, stayed in abusive relationships because they didn't feel competent or comfortable to leave. You know, just kind of seeing that dysfunction, and then to see it in my house where, you know, it wasn't perfect. I mean, every few years they have a discussion with each other, like, do we still like each other? Are we still fucking with each other? Because, you know, they had that communication. And, you know, just for me, it's just seeing a very healthy way of how two people, obviously straight, love each other. But since I'm not straight, that becomes a whole, love is very complicated, because it's just, you interact with like different ways you interact with people, and just, you know, Lord, we could be here all night talking about how like Black women interact with each other, dealing with love and all that stuff. And I don't have that energy. I don't want to do it. But yeah, it's just like, it's different now that I'm older and like, you know, finding myself being like, okay, maybe I'm ready to date, or maybe maybe I can't love somebody now. And just seeing how like, how much of a chore it is, because people just don't, you meet people who aren't healed enough to be in that space. You meet people who aren't even there, where it's just like they treat any kind of romantic relationship as like just disposable. So there's like all that to deal with. And you just, most of us are just unsure, uncomfortable, like putting ourselves out there, because, you know, put yourself out there, there's a 90% chance you're going to be dismissed, or like, you know, not, you know, just kind of like disposed of. And so that's just complicated for me, because it's like, I've had people approach me who are interested, and I'm just like, not really, you know, I'm not really there, or like, I'm just not interested in you, and just people taking it personally, and dealing with how like people just, if you turn them down, people feel some kind of way if you tell them no, if they approach you. That's interesting to deal with. And I'm just, also I'm older, so I'm not like in my 30s where like, you know, you were in love with somebody like every other day of the week, but if you weren't, you definitely found somebody to get up underneath. So you were in love with that person for like an hour or something, maybe two, you know, maybe you're lucky you stayed overnight. But I'm at a point where like, I'm, you know, a year and a half away from 50, and it's just different. Where like the things that like I was into somebody about when I was younger are just don't make sense. Like for me now, it's like, it has to be emotional connection. I have to really be into you. We have to be into each other. Cause, you know, sure, we can have sex, but okay, 10, 15, 20 minutes later, now what? okay, I don't, like, what else are we doing? You know, and that, and again, for me personally, I can't speak for my else, for me personally, like, sex is the least important thing for me, because it's just, I'm at a point where, again, I'm older, I've had a lot of it, I'm just like, that's great, that doesn't, that's not going to keep me warm at night, that's not going to be there when I, you know, give me a cup of coffee and I'm like getting ready for work, or like we're, he's not going to be, you know, that's not going to be there for me when I'm going on a trip and I wanted to go with my boyfriend, things like that. That's just, there's a deeper connection, deep other things I need that it's hard to get, because it's just where we are in the world, and like, you know, me being queer, it's just difficult, it's extremely hard to find. So
I guess it's a good point, kind of differentiating like how queer black love is very different than cisgender heterosexual black love as well. I think a lot of times in the queer community, like, we try and mimic what cisgender heterosexual folks do, and it's just like, it's a very different playbook. It's like, it's a different game. The emotions are the same, right? But like the way in which we show up, the way in which we express emotions, the way in which you know, we communicate with each other, like, can be very, very, very different. I'm wondering, you know, as we all identify as black men, do you feel like you can show that you are in love with someone? Like, is it appropriate as a black man to express your love for somebody else?
So I feel as though if that question was posed a few years ago, I would say no, it wasn't acceptable. At least, you know, socially, like, mass appeal wise, it wasn't acceptable for a man to show that he was in love. Because then I would imagine certain people, or a good amount of men, would probably worry about the whole simp mentality, or they would just worry too much about, you know, too much about just backlash of people, you know, just judging their relationship in general. But currently now, I feel as though it's fine. It's socially or mass-wise, it's fine, even though you still get the pushback of men expressing emotions and how you're not supposed to or whatever. But yeah, I feel as though it's definitely fine. I feel as though it's definitely praiseworthy too. It's kind of like revolutionary in its own way.
And you said simp mentality. Can you talk about what that means?
Got you. So simp mentality, that is, I guess that kind of, I don't know if that falls under the whole, I'm going to have to do a whole nother definition. I'm not going to say that. So simp mentality, yeah. Simp mentality is just the idea of being, help me out with the word. Like,
so I've looked on urbandictionary.com via, you know, for all things. Like, and simp, it is when a male is overly submissive to a female and gains nothing from it. So overly submissive that other guys cringe and feel ashamed when seeing them. I didn't even know that.
So the idea of simp is also steeped in misogyny.
Oh, 100%.
Got it. I mean, because I understood, I know this is like a offshoot, but I understood it in context, but I didn't understand the definition. So Joshua, shout out to that attempt and that effort, but you understood it. Marvin, shout out to the Urban Dictionary version of that word. I think it's absolutely ridiculous, personally. But to answer the other question, I think that love can be shown openly in our society, depending on who you are and who you're loving. And that's just the unfortunate truth to it all. I think that because we're in a heterosexual dominating society, if you're married, no one's going to knock you for loving your wife the way you do if you're straight. But if you're gay, don't nobody want to see that shit, right? Like, it's absolutely aggravating to have it be that down the line, love and then hate, for lack of a better term. But I guess it depends on the kind of love, like I said, because you can love your kids openly. You can love your parents openly. It really comes down to, like, romantic love, And a little bit of platonic, because then if you show love for the opposite sex and you're straight, then that's questionable too, as like platonic love is like doesn't exist either. So I know that to be different, and I've had different experiences, but I thought I'd throw that out there too, because that's key.
Well, I forgot who said this quote. It was like, what, black men loving black men is a revolutionary act. I forgot who said it. But yeah, as a queer black man, I felt like I can show love. But when I think about that, I guess I also think about like safety and stuff like that, because as a black gay man, it's like you out here showing love could be the difference between life or death or getting gay bashed or whatever. But so I think you have to be courageous and brave as a queer person to show love. But I do believe in showing love to your partner however they want to be loved, through affection, kissing, holding hands, spending quality time. But to each his own.
It's really disappointing and sad that, like, if black queer men want to be out about who they love, they have to fear, many times, fear how they're going to be judged and harassed, harmed, violence toward them, right, by other men. But then also, if heterosexual men show their love for their partners, then they're called a simp and all these other, like, just why is there just so much judgment? Like, why can we not just leave each other the fuck alone and like let love, was that live and let love, whatever that is, like, why can that just not happen? Like, everything that we do, actions, anything like that, have to be judged.
I feel like because niggas are deprived anyway. They don't know how to experience it themselves. So the next best thing you could do is judge it. It's almost like, again, like speaking just from that straight male perspective, like if I told, you know, one of my homies who I view as a brother at this point, like, hey, bro, I love you. Well, they might understand that, but somebody over here and it might not. And then it's just that same thing. It's like, come on, man. Like, you know, you've, or maybe you don't. Maybe you don't know you've experienced it to some degree. But that deprivation is a killer. It's an absolute killer. And it makes people do some ugly shit, I think.
The, I was listening to NPR and they had a study on where a census scientist was saying, like, the people that are most obsessed with like the South U.S. Mexican border are people that live in like North Dakota and Idaho. The people furthest away from it have this impression of what it's supposed to be. You find that with people that call people simps, you find it with racists, you find it with homophobes, transphobes, xenophobes, whatever. They don't know what it is. But when it finally comes to them, like, oh, it's okay now because it's the exception for me. But when everybody, like, you're not the only person going through something. So when you see somebody in love, that person found their A alike. So you should just be happy for them. That's two less assholes in the world right now. That's all you need to be. Even if you hate everything else in the world, just know that there's two people right now that won't be causing any problems. They're going to go to brunch. They're going to hang out. They're going to go home, play Mario Kart. That's it. You don't have to worry about them doing anything to you. A lot of people hate love until they find it. When they find it, sometimes they don't know how to deal with it. But once you feel it in your heart, it's like you're happy to be there. And you realize that all that time you spent calling people suckers and simps and being angry at them for being in love, I would hope you assume it's wasted time, because you just want people to be happy. That's all we need to do for each other at the end of the day. Just enjoy something, be able to enjoy something that other people are doing without having to experience it yourself.
No, I was just saying, I think all, like, what everybody's saying is correct is definitely right. But I think just me as a black woman, I think, yeah, it's not just being afraid to be yourself and to be in love with somebody, but it's also just the reality that a lot of people just don't know how to say they want that. It's like anytime like homophobia is just like, it's not even just a fear. It's just like you don't know how to ask for what you want. Like you're so worried about what a gay man is doing. Like, do you want to fuck somebody to find out if you like it or not? Like you can. There's an app called Jack where you can do just that to find, you know, to do what you want. And it's just, I don't know. I just think I've like a, when I was younger, I used to think of like just homophobes being like right, afraid of us. No, they just don't know how to ask or say, I want this. This is how I feel. This is how I actually feel. Like I'm so uncomfortable with who I am that I'm gonna like abuse or like assault somebody else because that's a direct mirror to what I need and what I can't have because I won't give myself permission to access it or have to experience it. So, you know, yeah, it's just weird for me.
It's almost like this idea that a person is curious about it, but because of masculinity, will not allow themselves to be curious about it. And so there's this internal battle happening. And so to make myself feel better, I'm gonna be violent towards someone else who's open and out and free about it because I'm really upset because I want that shit. But, you know, outside influences say that I can't do it. And I'm gonna fall into those outside influences. Like, what a fucked up way of thinking. What a fucked up way of just existing, right? I can't have a thing, so I'm gonna fuck up yours. So strange. Continuing in our conversations about love, as Black men, we typically aren't asked how we like to be loved. So I'm gonna ask y'all, how do you like to receive love? And you can specify whatever type of love you want to specify, whether romantic, you know, friendship, whatever.
For me, it doesn't matter what it is. It has to be with intention and respect. That's like bar none. That has to be the foundation. Everything else can just come, but it has to be, whether it's friendship or, you know, romantic relationship, it has to start with intention and respect for me.
So... honestly, that question is very difficult for me to answer. And I really like Ryan's answer because when I think about it, honestly, I'm going to recycle yours if you don't mind. The intention. Yeah, it's like the intention behind the love that makes the difference, you know, like the intent behind the acts that you do on a daily basis for any type of love. And then the respect. To, you know, I don't know, just keep it real with me, you know, like you say, like that respect, that trust, that care, that all of that. So definitely don't recycle Ryan's answer because that's a hard question for me.
I think that's a hard ass question in general, and that's why we're here. It was a few years ago that I came across what it meant to have like a love language, and that helped put things into perspective for me. So I'm a plus one on the idea of intentionality. And all the things are there, like with the level of like trust and commitment and things like that. But I think of the love languages, getting a little more specific, physical touch is one of those love languages that I didn't realize I needed as much as I did. And that's anything from a hug, like we were in a pandemic, man, that shit was tough not being able to like just fucking hug somebody. Like that hurt so much. And that's probably where I started to do some of this deep dive about like what ways I like to be loved. So I would say physical touch. Another one is quality time. I like to be able to spend some quality time. Even if we ain't doing nothing, we can be sitting around just watching a movie or shit, we can be cleaning the house. If the right music is on, and I know the commitment we have to each other, and this is in a romantic sense, that I'm all good with receiving love in that way. I would also say acts of service is one of them. And this is something that I've discovered the older I get, the more that comes into play for me and my life and the things that I have going on. But those three, in addition to, you know, I guess words of affirmation, I never want to assume that someone loves me just because they're acting a certain way. Because that's a game that can be played, right? Love bombing is a thing that I've discovered, at least, like the idea that somebody can like hit you with text after text after text, call after call after call, do these things for you, and then disappear. So it can't just be acts, right? It has to be a combination of those. So words of affirmation are also important for me in that too.
For me, I would say I really like when someone has like consideration and like thoughtfulness. So like if I'm talking to you, we're having a conversation, I'm all stressed out, I'm tired, this and that, that and that. And they're like, oh, well, like I just booked a massage for you this weekend for you to like go and relax. It's kind of like you're listening to me, you're hearing what I'm saying, you're being like thoughtful, considerate. I like to be able to have like deep conversations where like there's no judgment. I'm saying whatever comes to my mind, and it could be anything that's off the wall, and it's just like, okay, like this is a safe space for me to share, vent, get whatever I got that's going on with me. And what else? Dang. Yeah, I guess the right thing that people have been saying, I like intentionality. When someone's intentional, they're thinking about me, they're planning, they're considering me, like down the line and like planning things out. It's like, okay, like you see that this is something that's long term, so you're planning for the long term. I like stuff like that.
I was just thinking, like, listening to everybody's answers, and I honestly don't really know. Just the times I felt most loved is at like a Friendsgiving, or like my best friend's, like his Thanksgiving, like when his mom is there, and it feels like home. Like, not like I'm in a house, but like it feels like heaven. And I don't know if you can manage to make it through a couple of levels of Overcooked on a video game with me. I love you already, because I will yell at you nonstop. And yeah, just really cook with me. That's, I think that's the ultimate loving experience you can have with someone, because you are building and creating together. Like, do everything together. Pick out the meal, go shopping, cut up, prep everything together, cook everything together, eat together. And that, like, you went through every stage of making something together. And like, if someone's willing to do that with you, that's like real love right there.
I was gonna say too, it's so dope that you say that, because I think details matter. And I think when you build to a point where you have like, not to say that you have to have a commonality, because opposites attract, but like when you just kind of have your own language with a partner, I think that's dope. The inside jokes, the kind of like laughter is real attractive to me, because that goes on, that will continue to grow. And I think, and this is going to sound real weird, but when you can travel with someone, that makes a big difference. People travel so differently, like when planes are involved, and like the packing process, you see a lot about a person's personality, you know, when they approach like a trip, even if it's like a 3-day trip or a little staycation. But being able to do that from the packing process, not even the packing process, the planning process of it, to bringing your behinds on back home and like how you carry that out. There's something about that when that's working, man, that shit is dope. So I love that.
I have to speak to that, because I didn't never experienced that until recently, going somewhere with, someone that you love, or just a partner. And yeah, when my partner and I went to Oakland, it was an interesting time. Definitely enjoyed it. And through the ups and the downs, it showed me like exactly what you said. I was like, oh, okay. It showed me like her in that light. And it was good what I saw. And I was just like, whew, thank goodness. All right. Didn't know this was a test until it was a test.
Absolutely. It's those kinds of things, man. Like, you think you know somebody until the ticket agent says something, and then somebody ready to pop off real fast. It's like, hold up, let's just try to figure this one out. You know what I mean? Like, it's those little things that you really learn about a person. Like, and if, like, and this is in the case that maybe you don't live together. I mean, I don't know if you do, Josh, but, like, if you live with someone, you think you know them, but then you go on a trip and you ain't never been on a trip, you're like, oh, what was this? You know what I mean? Or you're like, oh, who is this? You know what I mean? Like, because it can go one way or another. So, yeah, that's dope. Yeah, that my heart beats, like, fast for that.
Traveling with someone, oh, my God. Like, I had a partner who, like, I kind of almost feel like they tried to, like, kill us in a way. This is crazy. We were, like, in a car. We were in a rental car. And we were driving back to the airport, and I don't know what it was, but they had these like racing thoughts, and they started like panicking, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then he like ran into the median, and I was like, I was just so like shocked. And just like, I don't know. I feel like I just went into like a different like person. I was just like, yeah, like I'm like, once we get back home, like this, like it's a wrap. It's a wrap for you. Like, I was just like, that's it. I was like, I can't deal with this. Like, whatever this is. It was traumatic, child. It was traumatic.
Did he intentionally run into the media?
Like, I don't know. I think he had like really bad anxiety, and I think he was making himself anxious, and we were about to miss the exit for the airport, and so he tried to like, I guess, try to make it, and he just ran to the media, and I was just like, I mean, was he trying to kill us? Like, I was just, it was a crazy experience.
So y'all were like making the exit, like attempting.
Yeah, he hit the median.
Oh, okay. A little more context.
Yeah.
He may have been just, you know, trying to impress you. He didn't want to mess up. I don't know.
By crashing into a median, though? Oh, what? Oh, no.
Well, if he has anxiety and like he's trying to make the exit, y'all trying to make a flight. And like partners in the cars is like, that's too much. Maybe it's hella cars around. I don't know.
Maybe he should let Daryl drive, because I'm sure he was anxious before they got in the car. You could probably guess that, because I mean, you know, just this just happened. It's just like it's a gradual, like something triggered him to be like, okay, I'm just nervous. This is just freaking me out. There would have been like, hey, you want to drive? Because somehow being anxious and driving to rush to get to an airport to flight. And then you crashed into a median. I don't know. The math is a math up for me. But you know what? You're fine. You're okay. That's all that matters. Cause yeah, and yeah, he would have been dropped if it was me. Like, oh, really? Yeah, we're done. We're done. We're going to play. We're done. It's good.
We ended up missing the flight.
I like, cause he crashed into anxiety shows up different ways, different times. All of those things. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know what that nigga, but whatever. I even forgot what we were talking about.
We were talking about how do we want to be loved?
Yes. How do we think? How do we want to? So I'm, you know, similar to what Eric said, I have a very hard time answering this question. One, because I am a recovering people pleaser, so it's never really been about me at all. The other thing is, have always kind of been told happy wife, happy life. So again, it's never really been about me. And so it's still hard when folks ask me like, what do you want? What are you looking for? And I'm just like, oh shit, what do I want? What am I looking for? Like, how do I want to be loved? Because in my experience, like, it's always me attempting to essentially prove that I'm good enough for the other person. and not believing that I am good enough. And so, you know, been on my self-love journey, but I've never really sat down and been like, damn, how do I want to be loved? And I'm sure a lot of other folks can resonate with that. Maybe not y'all, because y'all seem very much able to figure it out, but you know, maybe some other listeners.
It's a constant process. It might sound like we got it all together. I must speak for myself, I don't, but I'm looking for things that that really stand out about the topic, because getting to be this age at this point and also being a dad, and thinking about what that love could also look like, I've had to really do, you know, some soul searching. But every now and again, I'm like, is this how I want to be loved? I don't know. Do I need more? What do I need more of? Like, it's a constant question for me. And then how do I give that back is also really, really important. But trust me, I ain't got it all together, but I have done as much as I can to this point to just try to figure it all out, or figure enough of it out so that I can experience it in the truest way before I die. Because tomorrow's not promised.
Yeah, it's definitely a day by day, week by week thing. Sometimes I think I have it and I think I know a couple of things, you know, and then it just doesn't work out. Like, you know, certain ways I think I want to be loved, or I would ideally theorize that I want to be loved, once they're put into practice, you know, sometimes it doesn't hit. And then, you know, it's like, oh, back to the drawing board. Or, you know, sometimes even just the communication of it is difficult, because, you know, like, I would imagine people have had that moment where sometimes communicating love, or like communicating love and experiencing it, or like being present in it, or like they do this weird dance sometimes. So, you know, it's almost like step out of love and like talk about love, even though you are experiencing it within that time. So I find myself in those moments a lot, but yeah, day by day.
Where folks, I know we talk about loving as far as platonic, romantic, with the familial, where are folks with self-love? Is that something that, you know, that you've always kind of been taught, or is that something that's more recent that you kind of focusing on loving yourself?
For me, that takes work. That wasn't something I learned in growing up. Not that it wasn't there. It was just, you know, you never think about that growing up. It's just like, you know, when you're young, you assume you have it, but then you get outside where you're like, oh, I don't have it. Oh, I'm really kind of affected by like things I see on TV, what's around me, and like realizing that, you know, also self-love is a form of, I think it's a form of protection. It just kind of, if I love myself and I respect myself and value myself, then I can like easily avoid and like not deal with people who don't have that respect or love for me. You know, but that's something I had to learn over and over again, because, you know, when you're 20, in your 20s, you don't know shit. When you're 30s, you don't know shit. So, like, it took me really until I turned 40 where I think I figured it out. It's like, oh, this is what that is. And, you know, once I was able to figure it out, it's been fine. But also, I know that comes at a cost, because once you love yourself and know what you will and won't deal with, that takes out a lot of people, like situations out of your space. Because it's like, if I'm not gonna deal with this, I'm not gonna deal with you. That's what you're bringing to the table. So, you know, that me focusing on like loving myself, then that means like certain things I will never experience, or like just quality of people I run into isn't gonna either not be there or be there. So that all, I think, is like a byproduct of that for me.
Yeah, Ryan, when it comes to self-love, definitely I feel you on that. And also to Marvin's note, I too am a ex-member of the People's Pleasing Posse, the PPP. but yeah, I too also am a recovering people pleaser. So for me, self-love wasn't It was like subconscious for me, but it wasn't something that I intentionally or consciously, you know, did. I just did enough probably just to get by. And it took a lot of, you know, attempts and just trial and error in relationships to begin to realize, you know, and gather enough lessons to, like what Ryan said, once I reached my 20s, you know, start having more intentional relationships and whatnot, just more intentional perspectives and conversations. And then I basically realized I like to liken self-love as any other relationship that you would have with somebody else, like platonic or romantic, because, you know, like especially romantic, when you get into a new relationship or just when, you know, when your romantic relationship is really good, you usually, you know, spend a lot of time with that, you know, other person. Y'all usually show each other love. You do things that they like, and then they kind of show it in return. And it's like this little beautiful system in theory, or this beautiful cycle in theory. But it took me until I was in my late 20s, and like I said, all those lessons and me actually sitting down with it and getting into therapy and stuff like that, for me to actually realize, like, oh, snap, self-love is legit me dating myself, or, you know, like me being in a relationship with myself. And all this time, I have not been loving myself enough or in the proper ways. So now, you know, it's like myself is angry at myself, or, you know, like things don't click when it comes to me trying to communicate love to others or me trying to show love to others. So it took a lot of, you know, trial and error and a lot of hard work of just sitting down and having those self-reflections to realize self-love, how important it is.
I'm going to jump in really quickly to say, Ryan said that if you're in your 20s and 30s, you don't know shit. I'm going to go out on a limb, respectfully disagree, and say, what? I know you don't care, Ryan. I'm just saying, like, for our listeners, right? And, like, from what I identified with it, I thought at the time I knew. And what I knew was the best that I had at the time. And then it grew into something better. So I wouldn't necessarily say that folks don't know. Some folks don't know. But I want to give a voice to the folks who are doing the best they can. They might know, and that love might grow into something different. But in terms of self-love, and it's Black History Month, I got to be honest. I had to learn how to do this self-love thing, and it probably didn't hit me until like maybe my early 20s, being in college, trying to figure things out. But I, like, being from the foster care system, I had a lot to prove. So I'm so busy trying to prove it all that I'm not getting anything back from myself or reflecting on what it was that I was supposed to love about myself. It was like my parents didn't want me. That's what it felt like at some points in my childhood. And when the summertime came around, you know, I couldn't play in the sun. I didn't want to get much darker than what I am right now because people had some shit to say. And I don't even think I was like anti-Black. I just was like, you ain't taking my Black ass in that sun. And I never went to a beach and things like that. I went to some water parks or whatever. But self-love for me came when I just started to like put all of that shit down. Like I just had to like let it all go. And it takes work. It took work. It took journaling. It took therapy as I got older into like my 30s. It took other people kind of showing me what their self-love looked like so that they are an example of what my self-love could look like as well. But I think to Josh's point, like loving yourself is very much like the ability to love someone else, but you put it back on you. So the things that we covered earlier about like, you know, commitment, unapologetic is a real huge one because I'm so unapologetically Black now is ridiculous. So my love for myself also reflects that, unapologetic as fuck. But yeah, that's it.
I think for me, like I think I'm in the process of learning to like love myself when it comes to solo, because I felt like, I'm in the process of doing that. So I was like a people pleaser as well. And I felt like I was like Captain Save-A-Ho in the past. Well, I was trying to save everybody. And it's like, you gotta be like, fuck it. Like, you gotta drown. Like, and it's like, No shade, but it's just like people gotta go through their own journeys and find their way. And I'm just like, I can't save everybody. I had to like save myself. I had to like focus on myself. I had to check in with myself. Like, I have to learn what I need. And then I think as like a Black man, like growing up, we were told like, oh, you have to work twice as hard to get like half as much or whatever. And so like I had this problem with just like resting. Like I felt like I had to keep working, going hard, like pushing myself to the point where it's like I'm burnt out and I'm exhausted. So I'm just like, okay, like I have to learn like boundaries, like learn my limits, learn like my energy level, like what can I do today, like, and like not feel guilty about not being able to do things. And it's kind of just like I have to like shift my narrative to focus on like what success and what accomplishments and self-love looks like to me, and not through like society standards and lenses. Because if I go by society, I'm gonna end up pushing myself off a cliff. So I'm in the process of learning self-love, and it's helped me to learn a lot about myself. It's helped me to just embrace my flaws as well.
And hearing you say that, Daryl, I feel like one of the ultimate love languages is appropriate boundaries for ourselves and for others. And that's what I'm learning now that I'm in my, I won't say in my 40s, I just turned 40, but that's what I'm kind of getting now. But I'm curious, I wanted to ask Marvin, because I've heard, I've heard the people pleasing, perspective and the journey that one is on when they are recovering from people pleasing. And the more I hear it, the more I think about how I had abandonment issues because I felt like I was placed in foster care at such a young age. Still think I received all the love, but I'm curious about the likely parallel between people pleasing and abandonment, if there is one, because that's what resonated with me when I was listening to you and then listening to Josh about people pleasing.
So I'll say that there definitely can be a connection. I never want to say like there absolutely will be a connection or like, because everyone experiences everything different because we're all different. But what I have seen is, this idea that, so as kids, we all want to be cared for. We all want to be wanted. We all want to be securely attached. And if people want to look up attachment styles, I'm not going to go into it, but it's very, very important as far as child development. And so it could be a caregiver, usually is a caregiver, that maybe isn't there consistently. Maybe that caregiver did leave. Maybe that caregiver did actively reject an individual. And so a lot of times as kids, we try and just make meaning around it, right? And so sometimes we're at an age where we're very much thinking that everything is about us, right? And so like there are some times where parents might get divorced and the kid is like, oh, it's my fault. Because that's where they are developmentally, is that they can't, they're learning how they interact with the world and how they have power to make things kind of work, happen, not work, not happen. And so they kind of look internally like, oh, this must be my. And so similarly, I think a lot of kids and a lot of individuals have this experience where something happens, they don't have meaning around it. And so automatically they go to, oh, it must have been my fault. I must not have been good enough. They must not have loved me enough. What could I have done differently that would have made them stay and not abandon me? Right. And so that sometimes is the mindset that people have. And so now, anytime folks try to make a strong friendship or maybe a romantic relationship or some type of strong connection, there's always this fear that that person is going to leave, right? So it could be that like a friend said that they were gonna just be 15 minutes at the store and they're taking 30 minutes. Now, the person might be anxious. Like, where are you? Right? Because again, that trauma, that deep trauma is like, damn, I don't want to be abandoned again. So now what do I need to do for you to make you stay? To make me feel like I'm enough for you to make you stay, not abandon me, not reject me. That's my quick and dirty of it. You asked me on the spot. So the therapist out there that's listening, don't drag me for this explanation. I think it was decent. So for being put on the spot. But and that could be one example. It could be, you know, other reasons as well. But that's something that I've seen in clients. That's something that I've experienced in my own life. And so that's just real.
Now, that was a good explanation. That resonated with me at least. And I feel like it could resonate with a lot of non-therapist people and some therapist people too.
Yeah.
No, really, thank you for sharing that. That really, really resonated a lot. Thank you.
You know, as we end, I mean, we could talk about this for another couple hours and go a lot of different directions. But, you know, greatly appreciate all of y'all sharing your experiences. And to end, I want to ask you all to kind of complete this statement, this sentence. Black love is blank. Black History Month, Valentine's Day, Black love is blank.
For me, Black love is revolutionary.
I would say Black love is healing. Black love is just simply beautiful.
I would say I had to look up the definition. I had to look up a couple to make sure that I was using the word properly. But I would say Black love is timelessly opulent.
I would say Black love is essential and needed for our survival as a community.
I was going to say beautiful too, but I'm my number two. Black love is imperfectly perfect. Yeah, I'll go with that. Cool. All right, y'all. Well, thank you again for joining us for another group session. Really, really appreciate this conversation. You know, I want to say do what you need to do to take care of yourself. But do what you need to do to love yourself. You know, even if you need to set boundaries, you need to take time for yourself, if you need to ask what that even means, right? To love yourself, take that time to do it because, you know, all of us are worth it. As Black men, we are worth it. And we deserve to be loved as much as we love other people as well.
In the words of Bell Hooks, I would love to say, we do not have to love. We choose to love.
Oh, and choose to love you.
There you go.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And I'll see y'all next time.
Peace.
All right, we out.
Thanks for listening to the episode of Dear Black Man. You good? If you have any suggestions for future topics or questions you want answered on the show, email us at dearblackmanpodcast@gmail.com. That's dearblkmanpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to subscribe to the podcast by hitting that notification button and follow us on Instagram at dearblackman_you good. Black men, remember, we see you, we hear you, we love you, we are you. We out.